My name is Debbie Orr. I am the founder leader of this beautiful, beautiful ministry. I'm also one of the ministers, one of the pastors here at Mossvale Community Church. And it's so great to have you with us this evening. I know we've got a few new ladies in tonight, a few new faces. So we welcome you in Jesus' name. We pray that you've already received a wonderful, warm welcome tonight. So we are at the end of a series. If you haven't been with us, please don't worry about that. We are at the end of a brand, well, not a brand new series, we're at the end of a series looking at Deborah, the dependent woman. And she is found in the Old Testament of the Bible. And I want to bring to you the finale of our series this evening. Dependent woman, a heroine of the faith, a modern day honeybee. That's what God is calling us to be as his children, as his daughters. So we live in a world today that is full of images and competing ideas regarding what the modern day woman today should look like and should act like. We see images, constantly see images of an independent woman, a woman that can do anything, a woman that can do everything, and she needs no one. She relies on her own strength. She is powerful and she is strong. That's what the world around us today would have us believe that we are to be as women. Now, don't get me wrong. I believe exactly what it says in Joshua chapter 1 verse 9, that we are to be strong and we are to be courageous. Amen. However, we are not created to live independently of God. Instead, we've been called by God to be dependent women of God. And I believe that this is a word for now for God's daughters. I received a message today that confirmed that. That's exactly where we are right now. We're hearing from the very throne room of heaven about what it means to be a modern day Deborah. Receiving wisdom from the throne room of heaven. Being strengthened, being empowered by the Holy Spirit and not the world. For our strength comes from God, does it not? Amen. So we've been looking at becoming that dependent woman of God. The woman that God created us to be. She's set apart. She is chosen. She is called. She is anointed. She is out of this world. And she is led by the Spirit of God. She is led in her anointing. And in this series, we have looked at Deborah as our heroine of the faith. And as Susan has shared already this evening, she was a wife. She was a mother. She was a prophetess. She was a judge. And we've looked at in this series how this woman of faith responded to her calling. How she arose during a very difficult and dark time. And how she stepped into that pretty major role. How she was led with wisdom. How she was led with power and compassion. And how she displayed the characteristics of a servant leader. Because as we've heard in this series, she was a woman that sat down under the palm tree. What did we say about that? That she was a servant leader that was quite quickly responded to the needs of others by getting down in the dirt with them. When they were at their lowest point, when they felt their dirtiest, Deborah was there, sitting alongside of them, seeking God for wisdom and words of comfort and compassion for them. She was also a mother. She was also a wife. And at the end of the series last week, we looked at her relationships. We looked at her relationships, how she worked with other godly brothers and sisters to bring God's people to victory. What an incredible story. Has she become a new favorite? I'm not surprised. You know, who said the Bible was boring? You know, this is better than any soap opera that you're going to watch on a Thursday night. It is. You've chosen to be in the right place tonight. You could have been at home watching EastEnders, but instead we're here looking at this gripping story. I mean, just look at the relationships that she had. And we studied relationships last week. We're always going to look at relationships at Women to Women because they're tricky, aren't they? They bring in some of life's greatest moments, but they can be tricky also. And the key to living in healthy relationships is being led by the Spirit. For we heard last week, the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. And the Spirit of God leads us in these fruits, these honey-like fruits, so that we can speak truth but in love, that we can be loving and patient and forgiving in relationships. We looked a lot at that last week. So I hope you've enjoyed learning more about this courageous leader and becoming a dependent woman of God, that we're not weak. We are strong. In fact, in 2 Corinthians 12, verse 10, Paul writes, I delight in my weaknesses. Can you say that? I delight in weaknesses and insults and in hardships and in persecutions and in difficulties. For when I am weak, I am strong. Amen. God is calling us as his daughters to arise and to break away from the worldly images and stereotypes, to shake off the independent woman chains and become a daughter of light, a woman of influence. So as we come to the end of our series, I want to look at one other aspect. Another aspect of the life of a dependent woman. And I prayed it at the start there, that we would be women of worship, that we would develop a lifestyle of praise and worship. Did you notice there it's not just for one day of the week? It is a lifestyle of praise and worship. And we're going to look at that this evening. You know, he has made a way for us. Jesus has made a way for us so that we can enter into that special place with God, so that we can enter into that moment of praise and worship. And we can stand before God and we can kneel before God and we can dance and we can sing and we can clap our hands and we can wave our flags and we can worship him with every part of our being because he is worth it. Because he is worth it. In those moments we can position ourselves before God and we can pour out. We can pour out to God in those moments. And guess what he does in those moments when we pour out to him? He pours back in. He pours back into our lives. And then when he pours back into our lives, ladies, we know this, we are then able to go forth and pour forth into the lives of others. And worship is such a beautiful, beautiful gift. And it's not just singing. And it's not just praising. Worship is also reading the Word of God. It's reading your Bible. It's doing your Bible daily apps on your phone if you're a wee bit more trendy. It's about tithing. That's worship. It's fellowshipping with each other. It's communion. Worship is all of those things. It's fasting. It's journaling. Who journals? It's writing down your thoughts and your prayers. That's worship. When you're sitting journaling and thinking about Jesus and thinking about what he's speaking to you, that's worship too. And we want to be women who develop a lifestyle of praise and of worship. You know, sometimes when I'm in worship, in particular when I'm praising God, one of the best things that I get to do as a Christian is to praise God. And I love worship. And I love being in praise and worship. And I'm just there and I'm dancing and I'm clapping. Sometimes I even take my shoes off because I just feel so free. And I'm dancing up and down the aisle there on a Sunday morning, or I'm in my front room and I'm praising and I'm worshiping God. And I'm just in that moment with Jesus. Isn't that just magnificent? Especially here on a Sunday, and you're just there in that moment and you can hear all the voices behind you, all the people worshiping God. And sometimes it just overwhelms me. Sometimes the tears are just rolling down my face and I think, this is amazing. And all my cares in those moments, they just seem minimal, don't they? when you're here and you're just worshiping God. And I think to myself, do you know what? Would it be amazing if Megan could just follow me around every day? Or if I could just get Gabriella for just, you know, while I'm stuck in a traffic jam. If I could just say, right, Ella, crank up some worship songs for me. Or if I get the whole band, that would be even better. When I'm stuck in the Tesco's checkout queue. Or in Lidl, probably Lidl, because you can't pack your bag. And you're trying to pack your bag and they're saying, beat it. And you just start to get a bit irritated and a bit frustrated. Or when you're in the house and you've got all the housework to do and you think, wait a wee minute, I was in that place on Sunday. Wouldn't it be good if the band could just follow me around all day, every day? And when I had one of those moments where I start to feel unglued, that Megan could just start to sing a worship song over me. Because see, if she did that, I would feel good. Because I would be in that place. But all my cares are minimal. Do you ever feel like that? You're in church on a Sunday and things are good. Your problems don't seem so big. But then you hit the Wednesday. And you're like, oh, this is hard. Can't wait to get woman to woman on Thursday night. I wish I could just be in that place all the time. But we're going to see tonight that you can. You actually can. Be in that place with Jesus all the time, that you don't need the band to accompany you wherever you go. I don't think Megan would agree to that. If I said, Megan, clear your diary, you're coming with me for the next week. But you don't need it, because the Lord is with you always, always. We've been looking at relationships and the fact that we were created by God for relationship. We were created to be in a right relationship with God the Father. We've talked about those other relationships, though. Last week was a tough one for us all, wasn't it? We looked at those other relationships in our lives. And then there's that relationship that we have with ourselves. And we talk a lot at Women to Women about what you're speaking over yourself, how you're taking care of you. But as I've said, that most important relationship that we need to nurture and invest in so that those other relationships can be healthy is the one that we have with Father God. And maybe your desire is to experience more of God. Maybe that's why you're here tonight. Maybe your desire is to have a more deeper and more intimate relationship with God the Father. And that's why you're in church right now, or that's why you're inquiring of the Lord. Perhaps that's why you've joined us at Women to Women, and that's amazing. Let me encourage you of something this evening. That's His desire also. If your desire is to go deeper with God, if your desire is to be more intimate with Him and to develop and nurture a closer relationship with Him, then let me tell you something, that's His desire for you, because He wants that kind of relationship with you. He desires you. He thinks about you all day long. And He thinks about you all night long when you're sleeping. He's awake, watching over you. So that's His desire for you. He wants to be in an up-close and personal relationship with you. And I want to suggest to you tonight that when you spend time in His presence, you will get to know His voice more and more and more. And you won't need the band to follow you around all day, every day, at your work, on the train, when you're doing the dishes, because He is with you always. In fact, the Bible says if you've given your life to Jesus, that if you believe and you have received God, the Bible says that you have the right to become a child of God. You are His precious child, and He is your Father, and He is with you always. Is it too soon for Christmas yet? No, it isn't. He is Emmanuel, God with us. 2 Corinthians 13 verse 5 says, do you not realize that Christ Jesus is in you? So I said there that if you've given your life to Jesus, the Bible says you've become a child of God. So not only is God with you, but Jesus lives in you. The Holy Spirit is in you. Yes, the same Spirit that raised Christ Jesus from the grave lives in you. He's here in your heart. But I wonder how many of us truly embrace that truth. How many of us truly embrace or have that awareness that He is with us every minute of every day. You see, some of us have fallen into a trap that He's with us on a Sunday. Or He's with us on a Thursday night. He's with me just when it's tough. That's not true. He's with us always. And God wants you to experience His presence daily. He wants a precious, intimate relationship with you. And in order for us to draw closer and deeper with Him, we need to create, if you're taking notes, here we go. You need to create a dwelling place for God. A dwelling place for God is a perfect environment where God's presence can reside. And let me tell you something, dear sister, that's not in a building. That's not in a building. That's in here. The sanctuary. We don't need to build a temple for Jesus because this is it here. It's in our hearts. Now, I'm not saying that corporate worship's not important. It is. I'm not saying that church attendance, that you don't need to come on a Sunday. You do. There's benefits to that, of corporate worship and corporate coming together to praise God and serving God together. But the presence of God is with you always. When we all leave this building tonight, it's just a building. But the presence of God is here right now. Doesn't that excite you? He's here right now because all of you are here. And His presence is with us. So that's important for us to grasp that we create this sacred dwelling place for God to reside. And it's that place within our hearts. Which means, wait for it, we can worship God anywhere. At any time. Isn't that amazing? That you can be in a position of worship 24/7. That's what God wants us to grasp tonight. A lifestyle of worship. Which means you can be worshiping God all day, every day. Even when you go for a bath. Even when you pop to the loo. You can be worshiping Jesus. Even when you're peeling the carrots. Even when you're sitting on the train or sitting behind your desk at work and the guy across from you is getting in your nerves. You can be worshiping Jesus in those moments. Hallelujah. So what is worship? What does worship mean? Well, worship in the Greek is proskuneo, which means to express respect or reverence. To whom? To God. We're worshiping Him. We're respecting Him. We're showing Him how grateful we are. We're saying to Him, God, You are good. We've just sung it. That's exactly what You were doing there. Worship in the Hebrew is shakah. And it means to bow down. It means to stoop low. It means to get down and worship God. So when we're worshiping God, what we're basically saying is we're bowing down before God and we are respecting Him. We are giving Him the honor and the glory and the praise that is so due His mighty name. That's what it means to worship. Old English, the word worship, it comes from worth-ship. It's because He is worth it. Because He deserves all the glory and all the honor and all the praise. And we love looking at what names mean. At women to women. We love looking at what it means in the Hebrew and what it means in the Greek. And we also love looking at what our own names mean because we looked at that in week 2. Because we took Deborah's name, which means honey bee. And we were able from just that one link to extract a whole load of characteristics from the honey bee that we can apply to our lives as daughters of the Most High King. So the names are significant. And there's a story in Genesis 29. I'm sure you'll know this story. And there's a woman in this story. Her name is Leah. And she has a sister. And her sister's name is Rachel. And they were, in actual fact, the wives of Jacob. And well, Leah had a real deep, deep, deep hurt and pain. She was able to give birth. She was able to have children with Jacob. But even though she was producing these babies, Jacob sadly loved her sister Rachel more. Rachel also had a heartache and she had fertility problems. But Leah in particular, when she first started having babies, her pain was reflected in the names of her children. She felt unloved. So she called her child that. Can you imagine opening the door? Come on in, unloved, your tea's ready. Sad, isn't it? But then came a shift. Don't you love a spiritual shift, ladies? How do we know that there was a shift? Well, she has another child. Only she gives this child a new name. And in 29, I don't have the verse, but it says here, she conceived again. And when she gave birth to a son, she said, this time, ladies, this time I will praise the Lord. And she called him Judah. Then she stopped having children. She called him Judah. Judah means praise. And this is why we know there's been a shift in her life, because no longer is she focused on her circumstances. No longer is her eyes fixed on her pain. Because everything in her life at that time, there was just pain spilling out everywhere. And that's why she named her children sad names. Very sad situation. But there's been a shift, because she's no longer looking at her circumstances. She's looking to God. And the shift is taking place, because she's no longer looking at her circumstances, because what's she doing? She's praising God. And this is reflected in this child's name. And Judah means yada. Everyone say yada. Yada in Hebrew. And it basically means to revere or to worship with extended hands. And you maybe you're not from Mossville Community Church. There's many churches represented at Women to Women, but maybe you go to a more traditional church. And when you maybe come into this particular church, you maybe think those folk have lost their mind. With their hands in the air, and they're taking their shoes off, and they're dancing, and Kirsty's brought her flag tonight. She's waving it about, and have they all lost their mind? No. It's because we're doing exactly as the Bible has explained to us. We are worshiping God with extended hands. So we've not lost the plot. What we're actually saying is, God, you're so good. God, come on, you're so good. And again, God, you're so good. You're so good to me. That's what we're doing. We're praising him and we're telling him that he is so, so good. So Judah means praise. When we think of praise, we think of singing and dancing and clapping and thanking God and worshiping him in the moment. But let me tell you something about praise. It's a command. It's a command. It's all through the scriptures. Just a couple for you just now. Psalm 117 verse 1. Praise him. Extol him, all you people. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, oh my soul. When we praise God, we are glorifying him. We are bestowing honor upon him. And when we praise, we are thanking him for everything that he has done in our lives and for what he is yet to do. I love the prayer and praise of Mary, the mother of Jesus, known as the Magnificat. Again, I'm thinking of Christmas already. Luke 1, verse 46, Mary's prayer. My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. So we know that when we praise and we worship God, we are creating a beautiful, special dwelling place for the Lord our God. And it's not just for Sundays. And it's not just for corporate worship. Jesus lives in you by his Spirit, which means you can enter into worship 24/7. for your sanctuary. There is sanctuary for God is here in our hearts. This therefore opens the door for you to be able to develop and nurture a closer relationship with God through a lifestyle of praise and worship. For when we worship, we know that in those moments we welcome the very presence of God. It's like a gateway that opens up between ourselves, a portal, if you like, between ourselves and heaven. You know, we often pray, may there be an open heaven over this place. It's because when we're worshiping God, there's an open heaven. And we get to pour out to God, and then God comes and he moves in and through our lives. That's why we encourage us to come into a place of praise and worship. And it doesn't mean that you're happy. It doesn't mean that you're full of joy. In fact, you might be praising and worshiping God and you might feel really sad. But in those moments, you're choosing to take your eyes off your circumstances like Leah and put your eyes onto him and focus on him and what he can do. So let's look at Deborah, the heroine of our faith for the final time this series. Let's consider what it means to be a modern day heroine of the faith, a dependent woman of God, and in particular tonight, women who live a lifestyle of praise and worship. Women who worship. Because when we worship God, he takes our worries. Did you hear that? While you're worshiping, he's taking your worries. Add that in, Mary. That's not in the notes. Women like Deborah. So let's return to our role model for the final time. We know that she loved God because she obeyed God. We've seen that. She spent time with the Father. That's why she knew his voice. We've talked a lot about spending time in his presence. Spending time in his presence, you'll get to know his voice. So when he speaks, and in particular, he gave her words of prophecy, she acted upon them because she knew. She knew it was her Father that was speaking. And she served him and she served others with all of her heart, with an obedient heart. So I want to turn to the final installment in the life of Deborah and now to Judges 5. And I'm going to read to you from verses 1 to 3. It says these words. On that day, Deborah and Barak, son of Abinoam, sang this song. When the princes in Israel take the lead, when the people willingly offer themselves, praise the Lord. Hear this, you kings. Listen, you rulers. I will sing to the Lord. I will praise the Lord, the God of Israel, in song. Hallelujah. So let's just start with the first three words there. On that day. What day? What day is it referring to? Well, it is the day of victory, ladies. It was the day that Deborah prophesied. It was the day that Deborah said the enemy will be given into the hands of a woman. We know the story. We heard it last week. Jael, she seized her moment. She stepped up to the plate. She worked alongside Deborah and Barak. Yes, she took a tent peg, she put it through the opposition's temple, and he was dead. But victory, breakthrough came for God's people. Justice was prophesied. So when it says on that day, the day that it's referring to is the day of victory. It's the day of breakthrough. Are you waiting for a victory moment? Are you waiting for a breakthrough? Perhaps you've had a breakthrough this week. What do you do when breakthrough comes? What do you do when God comes through for you? Well, on that day, you raise up a song. On that day, you start singing. On that day, you get everybody else around you and you encourage them to sing with you. Women of praise and worship. Women who know when God comes through, how do we respond? We go on our knees. We lift up a song. We get together with our women to women sisters and we give thanks to God and we praise and we worship him. Hallelujah. The enemy is defeated. Are we going to do the same? Are we going to stop and give God the thanks and praise that he deserves because he's come through yet again? You know, Deborah could have taken some of that credit for herself, couldn't she? She could have said, well, wait a minute here. Yeah, sing some songs, but don't forget I was the one that gave the word. Jael could have said, we'll sing some songs, but don't remember, don't forget it was me It was me that drove the tent peg through Sisera's head. You know, I was brave and I was strong, but modern day Deborahs, heroines of the faith, we know who deserves the glory. We know who to give the praise to. Deborah, Jael, Barak, the only person that they wanted to see glorified in that moment was God the Father. So honeybees, modern day Deborahs, women today who carry the same anointing, because remember that anointing is on you. It's not just on Deborah, not just on me, it's on all of us. Worship. Worship the Lord. Worship Him with all of your heart. Give Him all of the praise. You know, the shampoo adverts today are trying to tell us that we're worth it. In actual fact, He is worth it. And we come before a mighty holy God, and yes, we feel unworthy because none of us are worthy. But He has made us worthy because He died for us to set us free. Amen. And it's so important to grasp this. It's so important to grasp that it's important as a modern day dependent woman, honeybee, heroine of the faith, that we need to live a lifestyle of praise and worship, because sometimes, ladies, we just don't feel like it. Sometimes we just don't feel like worshiping. Sometimes we're not happy. In fact, sometimes we're sad. And sometimes we're going through some really, really difficult stuff. But we've said it many, many, many times at Woman to Woman. Worship is not a feeling. It's not a feeling. We don't do it just because we feel good. We do it because He's worth it. We don't do it because it's a feeling or an emotion. It's obedience. It's about choice. It's about saying, my situation is absolutely rubbish right now, but I'm going to praise and worship you, God, while my situation is rubbish, because I believe that you are worthy, and I believe that you're working on that thing that is rubbish in my life. So we thank Him for that. We thank Him that it is in the trenches with God that we will see victory on the battlefield. It's in those moments when we dig deep, ladies. It's in those moments when everything in our life is not cool and everything in our life is breaking our hearts. But it's in those moments we dig those trenches with God and we sit there with Him in the silence with the tears rolling down our face and we say, God, this is horrific, but I believe you're good. And I believe that you'll come through, because worship makes way for breakthrough. So in those moments, even when it hurts, even when the tears and the snotters are rolling down your face, dear sister, can I encourage you to praise Him? Can I encourage you, if you're waiting on a breakthrough, praise Him. If you're waiting to see a health report come through, praise Him. If you're waiting to see a relationship restored, praise Him. Praise Him. When you're waiting to hear Him and you're thinking, are you there, God? And you think He's deserted you. See, on those days, dig an even bigger trench and get in there, because He's in there right beside you. I promise you that. Habakkuk 3:17-18. Though the fig tree should not blossom, nor fruit is on the vines, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will take joy in the God of my salvation. Amen. You can put your own yet I statement in there, dear one. Lord, even though I'm not at the end of this yet, I will praise you. Lord, even though I'm hurting right now, yet I will praise you. Lord, as I wait for these tests to come back, yet I will praise you. Lord, even though this relationship is broken and is not restored yet, yet, Almighty God, I will praise you. Because worship is not actually about how we feel. It's not actually about us at all. It's about Him. And it's about what He can do. So yet, I will praise Him. God is greater than our situations. And see, what was meant for your harm, He can turn around for your good. So while you wait for that, praise Him. He wants to be with you. He wants to be with you in that special place. So what's holding you back? What's holding you back from a lifestyle of praise and worship? Is it time? Are you thinking to yourself, I've got too much going on. Have you seen my to-do list? I don't have time to build in some time to get down on my knees and dig a ditch and get in a trench with Jesus. I've got far too much going on in my life. Maybe it's worry and stress. Maybe you're so worried and so stressed that you don't know how to even muster up the energy to praise and worship. You don't feel like it. You don't feel happy, so you don't want to clap your hands. Maybe it's fear. Maybe you're afraid that if you allow yourself to be completely abandoned in worship, that you might just feel vulnerable. Maybe that's what frightens you. Maybe you're afraid that the tears might flow. Maybe you're embarrassed. Maybe you're thinking, but I don't know if I really do want to dance, and I really do want to lift my hands, and I really do want to feel free, but I'm embarrassed. What will the person next to me think of me? They might think I've lost the plot. We don't raise our hands in our church, so I don't want to do it because I'm too embarrassed. What if they think that I'm crazy? But here's another what if. What if they watch you giving God your all and it inspires them to do the same? What if you worshiping God in freedom just leads them right to the cross at Calvary? They say to you themselves, I want to know that Jesus that she's praising. Because at the moment, oh God, you're so good. I want to know that Jesus that she's worshiping. What if? What if you developed a lifestyle of praise and worship? That means all day, every day. You're at work. You're worshiping Jesus. What if the guy that sits across the desk from you just so happens to get saved? What if at university that you just strike up a conversation at the tea point about what you do first thing in the morning, about how you open up your Bible app? What if that just inspires somebody else to download that exact same app? I told somebody during the week about the YouVersion app. I thought nothing much of it. They've been on it every day since. They're doing about 6 plans. I said, you only need to do one. One a day is fine. They love it. What if? Consider that this week. What if you let down the barriers? What if you made it all about him and not about you? What if other people were led into those beautiful spaces with the one who is worthy of praise? What if your life was totally enriched because from this moment on tonight that you decided that you want to develop a lifestyle of praise and worship and stop being a Sunday Christian? So if that is you and that you want to go deeper with Jesus and have that intimate relationship with the Father who loves you, can I encourage you? Go for it. Take off your socks and shoes and dance. Because the chains are no longer on you. And can I encourage you, if you're not sure about doing it in corporate worship, why not start off with your front room? Why not dance with Jesus in the kitchen? Why not get down on the floor and lie out there and sit in the silence with Jesus and allow him to speak to you? Make time. Find a quiet spot. Sit a while. Linger a little bit longer. And if a song enters your heart, sing it out. Sing it out. Even if you don't know the words, Gabriella, we sing it out because she laughs at me. Because a song will come into my heart and I'll just know it's from Jesus. And I'll start to sing it out and then I have to Google it. And then I need to find the words. It doesn't matter. Who cares? Sing it out. So just to conclude this final session, God is calling us to be women who worship. Women who live a lifestyle of praise and worship. And let me tell you where it starts. It starts in here, within our own hearts. Private discipline is so incredibly important and will enrich your lives. And we'll look at that more towards the end of the year. So we've sadly come to the end of our session tonight. And in fact, the end of this series. We've been looking at becoming a dependent woman of God. He is calling us as his daughters to realize that the image that is portrayed of the woman today, the strong, independent woman, is not who God has created us to be. That's not to say that we're weak. It's not to say that we're powerless. In fact, no, quite the opposite. He's calling us to be brave, to be courageous, to be evangelists, to be servant leaders, like the Loises and the Eunices of our time. Inspirational, brave grace carriers, women of influence, the women that God created us to be. He is calling you to arise, just as he did Deborah, to arise in this time and be an influence, to run your race, to cheer each other on, to hand over the baton to the next generation, to improve your relationships, to seek God with all of your heart and be a woman of praise and worship. So ladies, are you ready to respond to the invitation that God is inviting you to, which is to arise, dear one? Arise for such a time as this. The girls can come back. We're going to spend a wee bit of time at the end in praise and worship this evening. But I want to leave you with a final verse in Judges 5. May all who love you be like the sun when it rises in its strength. And then it goes on to say, and at that time there was peace in the land. Amen. Amen. I'm going to pray. And then we're going to be led in worship. See, when you've got, I know you've got one that you've chosen for this evening.